Hello everyone and welcome back to episode something of Knowing Wheel. We apologise, Jamie and I are just going to get straight into it. We've both been a little bit all over the place. Jamie's very jet lagged, I am still trying to move, so I'm on the world's jankiest setup with a microphone in my hand. But we missed the Spanish Grand Prix last week, we desperately wanted to talk about a few bits from it, so I might even label this as like a bonus episode on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Because this one's going to be very quick fire. No structure, nothing like that. We're just going to ramble about what we want to. Jamie, first of all, how was your America trip?
Oh, it was great. I loved it. Sadly, didn't get a chance to record the podcast while we're out there. So no American accent for all you viewers. But yes, it was fantastic. I literally landed I flew last night, landed this morning. So my body thinks it's about 11 a.m., but I also haven't slept in 36 hours or something like that. So this is going to be great fun.
It's going to be a very delirious show with Jamie183, and I'm sleep deprived anyway. House is coming together quite nicely. I still haven't got everything sorted, hence microphone in the hand, but we are getting there. So we're planning on doing a proper show probably Thursday or Friday to preview Canada. So yeah, hopefully then everything will kind of be back to normal for the viewers as well. But so many of you guys were asking me whether we were going to be doing a show to obviously talk about Spain. So let's get into it, Jamie. The first thing, of course, I was right. The wing update, the new technical directive did nothing.
Yes, that was a big shame. I think it was exacerbated the fact that... in hindsight, Spain was always going to be a good track for the McLarens. So if the wing update had any effect, it wasn't going to show itself at Spain. But potentially a more bumpy circuit, potentially where front wing flexibility might play more of an effect, or a circuit where McLaren aren't as far clear. Yeah, it didn't do much, I'll be honest. I'm disappointed by that, obviously. But yes, it was a shame. But once again, we had a normal race. Like, the thing that's been curious to me about the McLaren duo fighting among themselves is when things are ordinary, Piastri tends to come out on top, which I think is good news for his championship, because obviously there are more ordinary races than there are unusual races by nature.
If we had too many unusual races, they would become the normal races.
Exactly.
I mean, this weekend as well, though, you mentioning that, or last weekend, I should say, it was a big one for Oscar Piastri, because Lando Norris, throughout his time in Formula 1, this has always been one of his strongest circuits against teammates. I don't believe he's ever been outqualified by a teammate here. I think Sainz finished ahead of him in their first year as teammates. I could be wrong. But well, this has always been a Lando stronghold.
He put it third in the pre-update 2023 McLaren, didn't he? Put it third on the grid.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
And then crashed into Hamilton and ruined it. But, you know, it was still good in qualifying.
Swings and roundabouts.
Yeah. Exactly. And I don't think Piastri's done particularly well here before. I don't think he got a podium last year.
Well, he's only gone up against Lando here, hasn't he?
So, I guess, yeah.
And, of course, this is such a good Lando... has been such a good Lando track historically. The fact that Oscar seemingly just... qualifying was close, wasn't it? He just hooked up the lap right when it mattered, and Lando didn't. But, you know, it just seems like, yeah, Oscar Piastri, he's got kind of a lot of the confidence, a lot of the momentum behind him. Things are shaping up very nicely as we get towards half distance.
They certainly are. And, yeah, certainly as both of us, I think, would be honest in rather seeing Piastri win the title than Norris, I think we're
most likely
quite enjoying this.
Yeah, I'm not going to complain about it at the moment. One driver, of course, that you do want to see win the world title, who I don't. Let's talk about him, Jamie. You're not going to get away from this. What do we make of Max Verstappen and his incident with, incidents with George Russell?
I was very disappointed in Max, I'll be honest. But I do think Red Bull made things very difficult for him. In terms of, yeah, he shouldn't be, we'll call it what it is. It was a deliberate attempt to make contact with George Russell. It was a deliberate crash. He knew what he was doing. And it boils over from what they did in Qatar, what they did in Abu Dhabi, in the press conferences. I think, and Baku 22-3, the sprint race.
23, yeah. Yeah,
There is a rivalry between these two, and you can't really get away from it. And it was unnecessary. It was a culmination of mismanagement of the end of the race from Red Bull. But it is not on. And I was disappointed in Max. But you know what? You've got to take this. That's part of who he is. That's kind of what makes him so good, is this refusal
to
lose.
Every once in a while.
The refusal to lose. And he will do everything to just, like, stand out and prove he's right, which obviously on this occasion he wasn't. But the fact they told him to get the position back, ridiculous. Let us look. What do you think about that, Matt?
I mean, yeah, first of all, George Russell was not fully in control of his car on the brakes at turn one. So never should have, you know, Red Bull shouldn't have been telling him to give it up. Maybe I'm misunderstanding what you meant by it, but I don't actually think Verstappen deliberately was trying to crash into George. Really? I just think he was really stupid in the way he was basically trying to do the old trick of, I've given the position back, but I haven't. At the same time.
Hamilton did in Belgium in 2008.
But he fully gave the position back and was comfortably behind and then re-overtook.
So you think it was a misjudgment rather than a misdemeanor?
I think it was a misjudgment from Max. I don't genuinely believe he was trying to drive into the side of
that
Russell.
Surprises
but
me.
I mean, but, yeah. The thing is, though, with this kind of thing, of course, that corner is obviously downhill anyway. And if you come off the brake, get back on the throttle again, and then go back on the brake, it's so difficult to not misjudge it. Like, we've all done it, like, racing the AI in the F1 games, if you get an illegal overtake, that kind of thing. Like, the thing is, at the end of the day, on the one hand, absolutely only got himself to blame, should have given the place up and tried to get it back, not instantly. And let's not forget, Hamilton got a 25-second penalty for what you just mentioned in Belgium all those years ago.
That was the minimum penalty at the time, so that was...
Was the minimum penalty at the time, but I think still sets the precedent. Mm-hmm. Verstappen, bear in mind, in that incident as well, Hamilton... The only contact that was then made in the secondary incident was Raikkonen going into the back of Lewis incredibly lightly on the exit of the corner.
Yeah.
I honestly think Verstappen was lucky not to get a bigger penalty here.
I agree. Yeah, I do. I think it had hallmarks of Vettel in 2018, Baku.
Yes. Hamilton. How Vettel got a bigger penalty there than this, I'm quite shocked by.
I guess it was... Vettel's was undeniably deliberate. Whereas this one, as we can tell, we have differing opinions, so it's not as clear cut. I do think he knew what he was doing. I struggle to believe.
But we both agree it should have been a bigger penalty.
Yeah, I struggle to believe that a four-time champ and probably the best driver on the grid, well, easily in my mind, the best driver on the grid, doesn't know what he's doing in that kind of low speed situation. I guess it's high pressure because there's so much going on around him and. The team have just made him mad by telling him to give the place back. I also think Leclerc was fairly fortunate, to be honest, to get away without a little telling off from the stewards as well for the bump down towards turn one. Yeah, on the restart.
But the point is with that one is Leclerc, as soon as he's the car in front, he gets to dictate the line.
But it's not a corner, it's a straight line. When
I first watched that, I thought exactly the same as you. But when you watch it back and you read the rules... And as Leclerc said after the race, as soon as you're the car in front, you dictate the line. Down the straight, through the corners, whatever.
It just seemed really dangerous, didn't it?
It seemed risky from Leclerc, and I don't really understand why he did it either, because he was going to get the run past Max anyway. Yeah. But on the one hand, yes, he probably could have avoided making contact with him. On the other hand, Max could have definitely avoided making contact with Leclerc as well. He was slowly trying to move him over. Mm. And like I said, as soon as Leclerc's the car in front, he has got the right to take the line there. It seemed a little bit risky, but I also understand he and George Russell, arguably the only two on the grid. Hamilton as well will pick and choose his battles. And Oscar now, I guess, as well. Yeah. But they're kind of the only ones that actually, when Verstappen tries to be a little bit of a bolshy trying to move other cars, they'll just go, nah. Sod you, mate, kind of thing. We'll dictate the line when we're within our rights to. You can't let him just control everything.
Yeah, and to be fair to them, they could see that. And now that he's not in an untouchable Red Bull like he was in 2023.
Or for a lot of last year. Mm, exactly.
For five races last year.
The first third of last year still, definitely. And obviously a lot of 22 as well. Just Red Bull have often had the car, and clearly now... Verstappen feeling that pressure. You know, he was a little bit unlucky with the way the strategy, you know, did come away from him. You know, they couldn't have planned for that safety car. All the Red Bull fans I keep seeing on social media calling for Hannah Schmitz's immediate sacking is hilarious.
Oh, ridiculous.
She's won that man so many races in the past. that I cannot believe people are talking about one bad race.
That's fickle social media F1 fans for
exactly,
you.
Exactly.
And like, to be fair, they were kind of caught between rock and a hard place because they only got into, like, I think prior
they
to
only
lap
got
55.
Into the fight. Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
prior to lap 55, Max's race was going way better than it should have been based on the car pace in terms of he was still in with a shout against Norris. I don't think he would have beaten him, but he was within touching distance. He gave the McLarens a headache in a car that was well slower. And that was only because of strategy, really. And then obviously the safety
and
car timing
the tires.
Screwed them over.
The tyres were a bit interesting this weekend. I don't think people expected the softs to be as competitive as they were for as long as they were, which
there
helped
was
Max
the
as well.
1, 2 and 3, so yeah.
No, it was offset, wasn't it, this weekend, I thought. I thought
no,
it was C1, 2 and 4.
It was back to the hardest. Actually, I barely watched it, so you might know better than me, but
fair
from
enough.
Looking at the tyres before Monaco, I thought they said it was back to the 1, 2, 3. For Spain.
Fair enough. We've got to rattle through the normal bits, Jamie. My driver of the day, I'm going to tie 2-1 here. Nico Hülkenberg. I mean, this track was always going to be a better one for Sauber.
Really?
But you've got to think, it's like Qatar. The Sauber is strongest at long continual radius corners. For whatever reason, their car just is strong.
23.
And obviously, Sauber, they only scored points in Qatar last year, which again is long, continual radius corners. It's definitely where the Sauber is strongest, but definitely not like P5 worthy.
Ahead of a Ferrari.
Hülkenberg, everything went very well for him.
It really
but again,
did.
Just proving that when things go right, he can capitalise.
On Sunday, obviously, I was in Georgia, south of the USA, so I couldn't watch it live.
Famously, Georgia has no internet, according to
GM183. Well, I had no 4G wherever I was because I'm in the States, so I literally had to wait until I was back at my accommodation in the evening. And I hadn't seen anything. I watched the 8-minute F1 highlights with no spoilers, so I was watching it as if it was live. And I kept on just end of lap one. I was like, how on earth is Hülkenberg passing Alonso for 10th when he qualified 16?
Because he cut the chicane or the first couple of corners
no
gained from it.
Out of that.
He did. He gained
well, only
two.
Positions that people crashed. That wasn't his fault. And then, like,
was there
throughout
a crash
the race,
at turn one?
Throughout the Lawson Alonso album, wasn't it? I mean, Hulk was involved in that.
I suppose. Yeah.
And then, like, throughout the race, I was like, right, when's this going to go wrong? When's a random DNF going to happen? Because he's in the points, and I was like, that's good enough for me. I'll take 9th. And then at the end, I was like, what? How is he finishing 5th? What's going on?
I mean, the move past Hamilton was painful.
Oh, it was funny, as on lap 65 as well.
The solace as well in knowing that Hamilton's car was damaged, for me at least, because that was just painful.
That's why I got really excited when I thought Leclerc and Russell were going to get penalties. I was like, is he actually going to get a podium when I don't watch
that
it live?
Would have been incredible. Incredible if he had.
Yeah, he did phenomenally well. I do think it was the perfect storm a little bit because...
Oh, absolutely. Like Qatar last year.
Excellent lap one.
All it was Qatar last year, but with a car that is more competitive. Like, still...
Slightly more competitive.
Normally... No, it's definitely... I think you'll forget how far off the Sauber was last year.
And
it was
a better driver
the rest
than
of the
either
grid.
Of the Sauber drivers last year.
Bottas could have... Bottas wouldn't have got his elbows out, but Bottas is still definitely quicker than Nico.
Bottas would have been 16th after lap one, not 10th. So.
Well, yeah, there is that. I mean, it does give a little bit of hope, doesn't it, to the Audi project. You know, I've said it before. I would like to see Nico finally get a podium before he calls it a career.
Music,
and it would
ears.
Be
and
it would be incredible viewing.
The updates, they do seem quite confident about. I definitely don't think they were the slowest car. Obviously, Bortoletto almost got Q3, didn't he? So,
yeah.
He was
reckon
not to score.
They were one of the only teams that, if they said they felt like the technical directive helped. But it was also that they brought a new floor, which they reckon was worth about 3/10 a lap.
And
which, in
a
field as close as this, exactly.
3/10 a lap is crazy in a field this tight.
Exactly, it's massive. Yeah. But this late on in the regs, that's massive.
That's
still,
like Q1 to Q3 kind of difference.
It can be, that can be the difference. On a track that suits them, exactly. But yeah, Hülkenberg, my driver of the day.
Is he going to win?
He has? No, he's not.
Hülkenberg is obviously also my driver of the day. Although he did mess up qualifying, which came in clutch because he had every set of tyres under the sun ready to use in the race. So maybe that's the strategy.
Brilliant. We got obviously a few other little bits and pieces to rattle through, haven't we, Jamie? Like we said, it is a very short show. Race rating, what are we seeing?
I mean, I haven't got a very clear picture because I've only watched it on the F1 highlights, but it was good, wasn't it? I gave it like a 7. You can tell me if that's ambitious.
I know I was going to give it a 7.5, but of course I always give a race a little bit of bonus points when we watch a Max Verstappen meltdown, just to remind everybody that he's in fact human. Because
he's
a lot
also
of
one penalty
he's
point.
Kind of God, he is. Yeah. We were going to talk about that more in Canada. I was hoping,
okay,
because we will talk about that a lot more in the preview.
He won't
show
get a race
for,
ban. I'm
going to
call it now.
Probably not. No, the FIA will be so lenient. They never try, unless it's Kevin Magnussen. They never try and give out bans. Well, Gasly did it a couple of years ago, didn't he? There was like a slam dunk.
It was Grosjean.
Like, should have been penalty points. Was it Grosjean?
2018,
I thought Gasly did it as well.
2018, he took out Leclerc at COTA, and he was two penalty points away, which is a stonewall
they gave
two
him
penalty
one.
Points, and they gave him one. Yeah. Yeah.
Ridiculous. Ridiculous. Yeah.
Also, how did Alonso got his first point of the year? Well done. Well done.
He did. Alonso. At last.
I really felt for Liam Lawson, because he fought so hard that race. Like, the amount I watched the extended Sky Sports highlights. Shout out to Nico Rosberg, by the way, the best commentator.
Genuinely
they
didn't
have.
Mind him on comms for the first time ever.
Liam Lawson seemed to just be making contact with someone every lap, and
pretty much
finished 11th. I really felt for him because he deserved points the way he drove, apart from one or two of them with a rip misjudged. But you know, live and you learn.
It's the Liam Lawson way. It is the Liam Lawson way.
Yeah.
Predictions recap, Jamie. What were the scores on the doors coming into this weekend? I closed up. No, you pulled away again, didn't you, in Monaco? No, I closed in Monaco.
Five points in it. So I was.
I can't even remember what
22.
We predicted.
I'm hoping I've written them down. 29th of May, that would make sense, wouldn't it?
Yeah, yeah. That's
this
that.
Doesn't look great for either of us, actually.
No.
So you went Lando Norris pole, no points. Lando Norris win, no points. Oh, 1 point, sorry.
1 point, thank you. Yeah, I was going to say.
Oscar Piastri in second, 1 point. And Max Verstappen in third. So
I would have had him bang on.
Well,
had he not been a complete bottle job. Had Max Verstappen not Max Verstappen.
If your
I would have had, him
had
bang
wheels,
on
she would have been a bike. So, you know, who cares? I said, this is going to be funny. Max Verstappen pole. Nope.
Oh.
Max Verstappen win. Nope.
Oh.
Oscar Piastri in second. That gives me
1 point.
1 point. And George Russell. In third, which wasn't that bad actually,
close.
Looking at it.
No, close. It was not bad prediction.
So
but you did say Lando Norris wasn't going to podium.
Yeah. Yeah. Two for you, one for me. There you go. So, I've given myself.
So, what's
two.
The scores now?
28 to me, 24 to you.
Okay, that's all right. That's all right.
And
we're
going to
Canada, obviously,
where Hülkenberg will qualify in the front row like he did 2 years ago.
I wait for you to predict that. That would be incredible. he didn't qualify in the front row, did he? It was penalties for others that put him
on
the front row.
Well, at the what end of qualifying, he was P2, and then he got his own penalty that dropped him to fifth.
Ah, yes. Sorry, I do remember. Brilliant.
He was
scenes,
too fast for the stewards. They had to penalise him. Too fast on the red flags was the problem.
Deary me. Deary me. Have we got anything else to add, Jamie, on I think what might well be the shortest episode we've ever done?
Yeah, well, you've got to go somewhere, haven't you? That's the problem. For the viewers wondering why. I also want to go to bed, but I can't for another few hours, which is a big shame.
Fair enough. Thank you all, as always, so much for listening. Like we said, we apologise this has been a short show, but we're hoping normal service will resume Thursday or Friday. Get yourself subscribed if you're new. We're at 915 subscribers, so we are closing in slowly but surely on our goal of 1,000. But yeah, Jamie and I will return later on this week to preview the Canadian Grand Prix.